Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
I have never in my life witnessed, and neither have you, the very spirit of fear taking over a nation and a world. But the people of faith must rise up and build again the walls around Jerusalem like Nehemiah. Well, I feel like preaching, but I'm supposed to be teaching.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's continue in this recent Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Rogers. This is Rebuild Part 2, a study in the book of Nehemiah. Let's go into the message today.
The future of America rests upon the shoulders of pastors and churches and Christians in the hour that we're in to be able to take a step of faith and say, it's time for the fear-mongering of the media. It's time for the nonsense that's been pushed down the throats. We need to have common sense. And I know I'll get letters in crayon, but you write them all you want to. I can tell you that there is much that you're hearing is nothing more than the siren song of hell that is propagating and pushing fear like it has never been. I have never in my life witnessed, and neither have you, the very spirit of fear taking over a nation and a world. But the people of faith must rise up and build again the walls around Jerusalem like Nehemiah. Well, I feel like preaching, but I'm supposed to be teaching. So Ezra goes back as the story continues, and he gets a little bit accomplished. He comes back as the prophet priest of God, and he starts preaching the word of God to them, and they, a little bit of a crowd heard him, but after a while that kind of waned down. And Nehemiah heard from his brother that the gates of the city were burned out. There was no ministry going on. There was no excitement for the temple anymore. People had begun to worship other gods and just all kinds of things going on that were devastating to the city of Jerusalem and to the ministry and to the city of God, the city of his ancestors, as he says. So he fasts and prays for a period of time, and that's what we've been doing as we're getting ready to open back up. And he comes before the king as the king's cupbearer, and he says he's standing there with this sad countenance, and the king says to him, "What's wrong with you? Are you sick? Are you messed up?" He said, "Listen, I'm broke down. I'm sad because my ancestor's city is devastated. It's been burned out." He said, "Well, what's going on?" I'm paraphrasing this. You can read it for yourself. And Nehemiah says, I want to go back there and rebuild it. And the king says, "What do you need?" And in a moment, he stops and prays. And then suddenly he begins, after those 4 months of fasting and prayer, to read off his grocery list to the king, who is now asking him, "How long is it going to take?" Listen, whenever your mom and daddy says, or you ask them, "Can I go somewhere?" And they start saying, "Well, how long are you going to be there?" Something jumps up in your heart and says, "I'm going to get to go." Can you see Nehemiah all excited, thinking about the fact that the king has now opened the doors? And listen, many times as leaders, we want to wait and say, "You know, I'll figure it out when it happens." But Nehemiah was prayed up and ready with his list of what he needed. Leaders will know what they need before they get the permission. And he said, "What do you need?" He said, "Well, I need some cedars of Lebanon to rebuild. I need some money out of the coffers. I need some letters that come from you that give me the authorization to be able to do what I'm supposed to do." And so the king did that. In fact, he went even further and gave him a whole garrison of soldiers to ride along with him to make sure that he can make the trek there. And so for 1,500 miles, and they say probably about 2 or 3 months of journey, here they come on their way to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, as we studied last week, he starts talking to some of the people, and he's sitting there for 3 days, and he gets up and rides around and starts to survey what's going on. And it was probably about 1,500 miles that it took to be able to get there. And by the time he arrives there, the morale of the people, the Jews, was down. They were discouraged. They were despondent. They were in despair. Nothing was happening. And when he arrives there, he arrives on the king's order to rebuild and the appointed time to get it done. So in verse number 10, it begins to open up something that every one of you that as leaders need to know anytime, and those of you that are parents or those of you that are business owners or pastors, hear me now, anytime you get ready to do something for God, you better open your eyes, opposition is going to come. Don't care what it is. I'm just telling you right now, before Sunday gets here, there is going to be an enemy, some kind of opposition that's going to try to stop you from getting to this house. It'll be the alarm clock didn't go off. It'll be somebody came over, all that. You've got to be ready and focused right now because there is a mission that God is putting in your heart, and it is time to rebuild, restore, and revive the houses of worship all over our nation. In verse number 10, and says, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, and the Ammonite heard of it. What did he hear of? He heard that they were going to rebuild. The rumor got around the city that they were going to open up the doors of the church, and the church was going to come back in the middle of a coronavirus. That's what I read right here. And so he heard of it. They heard of it, and it grieved them. Now, that's not just a casual word. We'll touch that in a moment. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man, come on now, to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, Nehemiah says, and was there 3 days, and arose in the night, and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode on. And I went out at night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung poured, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof that were consumed with fire. I want you to know, we'll take this up as we walk this down. So he takes this survey, and all of a sudden the rumor started getting out to this Samaritan leader, Sanballat, and to this other Amorite, Tobiah, and actually along will come another one, the Gershon. He comes along as well as the Trinity of Hell coming against Nehemiah in this particular time. In verse number 11, let's walk this down. In verse number 11, after 3 days of verifying and getting information of what's going on, Nehemiah strikes out at night. In verses 12 through 16, he starts explaining to us where he's going and what he's doing. He surveys the city of Jerusalem at nighttime. So Nehemiah's plan, after he had prayed, after he had gotten authorization as a leader, after he had done all of his due diligence, he shows up in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah's plan, hear what I'm telling you now, Nehemiah's plan was to secretly inspect the city walls and the gates to determine how and what actually needed to be done. He had heard what was taking place, but he needed to see it with his own eyes. Every leader will lay their eyes on what the situation is before they start trying to make a move on something. But the key here is that he didn't tell everyone. Now write this down. Nehemiah wanted to share the vision to the appropriate people at the appropriate time. I want to tell you something, leaders. And this is important for you because there may be opposition. They tell me that some of the governors in other states are going to continue to put a lockdown on the situation. I want you to know something. We're at a place now where churches and pastors have got to make a decision. Are we going to keep the door shut? Are we going to tell everybody in the community that we are out of business? Or are we going to go ahead and survey the situation, open up the doors? Don't tell everybody your vision until it's time. Bible says in Habakkuk 2, write the vision and make it plain that they that read it may run with it. It's important for you to deliver the vision, but you don't need to tell your vision to everybody. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm preaching to myself. Because one of the bad things that Joseph did in the Bible, over in the book of Genesis, that he told his brothers that one day they're all going to bow down to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you want to start a sibling rivalry, that's one way to do that right there. Just let the youngest of all the crowd walk into the room with all the other brothers and sisters and tell them, hey, I just want to let y'all know, one day every last one of y'all is going to bow down, including you, Daddy. And besides that, y'all are going to pay homage to me and you're going to worship me, and I'm going to be over the top of you as an authority. I want you to know that's a good way to start a fight. But the fact is, if God's favoring hand is upon you, you better go ahead and do what God's told you to do. However, Joseph shared his vision too much. That was one of his problems. Now, when you're walking away, and I'm taking a little diversion here to Joseph, when you're walking around like Joseph, and you got this multicolored jacket on, and everybody knows that your daddy loves you more than anybody else, that arrogance and pride can get in front of you sometimes and come out of your mouth. That's the reason Nehemiah said, I'm not going to tell anybody what's going on. I want you to know, God things, listen, are things beyond our ability alone to do, but the leader is the one who's going to get the vision. I want you to know something. God never spoke to a committee. He always speaks to a man or a woman of God. Hear what I'm telling you? He's not going to gather a whole bunch of people and ask everybody, hey, what do y'all think? We're not going to poll everybody. Somewhere, that's the reason why pastors have got to say, somewhere I've got to take the authority of this situation and step out in faith and begin to obey God. Now in Nehemiah chapter 17 and 18, or chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in and how Jerusalem lieth waste. Now watch this. This is the key to the purpose of the reason why Nehemiah was there. And the gates thereof were burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Listen, man. This thing right here is speaking to us right now. Look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, after hearing the vision, after hearing a man who said, I've heard from God, it's time to reopen the doors. Come on, somebody. I've heard from God. It's time to come back and worship. He said, not only that, but we've got the authorization of the king. Now, I'm going to tell you, ain't but one king. You need to hear what I'm telling you. And so when that took place, the people rose up at that time and said, we will rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work and favor of God. That when you make a decision, leader, that you're going to step out in faith, and you know it's a God decision, and you've got the approval of the king, and you've counseled with the people you need to, but somebody's got to say, come on, let's do this thing. Let's rise up and build. When that takes place, there's going to come, my God, I feel something in here. There's going to come a cloak of the anointing of God that's going to rest upon you as a leader. And at that moment, it's not about titles. It's not about any of that. It's all about somebody who says, I dare to take a step out in faith and call the people to rise up and build. That's what I'm doing tonight. Write this down. Nehemiah challenged the people to remove the disgrace by rising up and rebuilding. Why? Because in the time that they were in, they were apathetic towards God. See if we're not where we are right now. I'm telling you, there are some people who have made up their mind, you know what? I can do this thing online. I don't have to go to the house of God. Well, that's a direct violation of the word of God. I'll show you in a moment. I'm just telling you right now that in this atmosphere we're in right now, we are on the edge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, and the tribulation is right upon us. And I want you to know that if you're not walking in faith in this hour, my dear friends, and in the favor of God, building up the church, then what is it that you're going to do? Hear me. They've already told me that the sporting events for children are already starting. It won't be long in this atmosphere where people are going to be distracted. And Nehemiah said, having the doors of these churches is a reproach to any community. It is time for us to rebuild, open the doors up. We have the authorization of the king. We have the authorization of the church. And now you need to say with one voice, Pastor at Pace Assembly, come on, Pastor at Olive Baptist, Pastor at Brownsville, Pastor at whatever church you're at, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian. Come on, Pastor. It's time for us to rise up and build the kingdom.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.